is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out on Davin's Den. Kevin Lee is joining us in studio. Pip is out
master
this week.
Master comedian Kevin Lee, by the way.
Master comedian Kevin Lee, as he likes to be called. Anyway, had a very spirited conversation, solving the world's problems. Guns, race, media. Yeah, we solved it all in hour one. I really hope you guys heard it. You would have been a lot more enlightened if you did. So now we will talk about Texas, and all things of enlightenment come from Texas. And a new law on about social media. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has put a controversial Texan law that allows users to sue social media companies back into effect. As Houston Public Media notes, Texas introduced HB 20 last year. After, as Houston Public Media notes, Texas high-profile conservatives, including Donald Trump, were blocked on social media websites. A federal judge put HB 20 under temporary injunction in December, but that injunction has now been paused. Under the law, users will be able to sue large social media platforms with more than 50 million active monthly users, such as Facebook and Twitter, if they believe they were banned for their political views. I would cut it off at 49,999,000. That's what I would do. I wouldn't let anybody else in. And go, you can't sue me. That's the way you get around that. HB 20 also prohibits social networks from removing or restricting content based on the viewpoint of the user or another person. Trade industry groups, NetChoice and the Computer and Communications Industry Association matched to secure injunction against the law last year. They argued that HB 20 would lead to the spread of misinformation and hate speech on social networks, and it also violates the website's First Amendment rights. The federal judge overseeing the case agreed that social networks have the right to moderate content under the First Amendment and also said that parts of the law are prohibitively vague. In a hearing for the appeal filed by Texas state laws, lawyers argued that social media platforms are modern-day public squares. That means they can be required to host content that they deem objectionable and are banned from censoring certain viewpoints. The Fifth Circuit judge sided with Texas, with one even telling the trade groups during the hearing that social networks like Twitter are not websites but internet providers instead, are they? NetChoice counsel Chris Marchese called HB 20 an assault on the First Amendment and constitutionally rotten from the top to bottom on Twitter. The group plans to appeal immediately, but for now, HB 20 is in full effect. All right, there's a lot of things here. This is my blog, which you can go to davincomedy.com. I don't know. I seem to remember not too long ago, the Supreme Court made a very unpopular decision that's now the law of the land, where corporations were people too. Corporations were people too. So being a person, you can say not in my house. If Kevin started like spouting all this racist stuff, I could say not in my house. But these are places of business. So they're telling these places of business that they are legally obligated to allow whatever they want on their platform. We all agree with the terms of service. And to when we sign up for these websites, which we use for free, we all agree to adhere to whatever they say, whether we like it or not. We go, all right, I need to promote my comedy gigs on Twitter. All right, fine. I won't talk about kittens because that's the terms of service. I just need to promote my thing or whatever it is. And now the courts are going to say you can't do that. And remember when the Republicans wanted less overreach, less restrictions. They wanted businesses to do whatever businesses wanted to do. Now they want to tell Twitter and Facebook what to do. It's bad. It's bad for business. And as far as them being internet providers, I've never called up Twitter when my internet went down. I've called up Altice plenty of times when my internet went down. I don't pay Twitter a damn dime. I don't pay Facebook a dime. I pay Altice a dime because they're an internet provider like Spectrum is. So it's such a ridiculous argument. This whole argument is specious. It's just, it's so pathetic. Oh, you're not letting me play in your house, so I'm going to sue you. Stop it. There's plenty of other social media platforms where you go to Trump has, what, Truth Social or something? And there's Telegram. You know, there's 4chan. Spout whatever you want to spout. You know, maybe there's left-wing sites. I don't know. Spout whatever you want to spout. I don't know. No, but I'm saying maybe there's left-wing sites. I have the right. I've created this platform, which I charge you nothing to use, and I allow you to promote whatever you want to promote on here, And now you're going to sue me because I say, you know, I don't like right wingers, which I don't believe is true. Anyway, it's just a real problem. And it's not a town square. It's only in the fringe that are living and dying on Twitter and social media making their points. Most people scroll past this shit and go, this is ridiculous. I don't give a shit what all these wing nuts are saying, whether they be left or right wing, whether they be left or right wing politicians. It's not a town square. You know, if it was a town square, you know what you do? You go to the corner. Go to the corner like the crazy people used to do and yell at the corner at the subway, the end of days, or Biden's the devil, or Trump is the devil. Get yourself a little sign. You know, get yourself a little frying pan and a wooden spoon and clang go, Biden is Satan. Biden, have at it. That way we can all walk by and snicker if we have children. Go, hurry along. That man's crazy. That's what it should, it's not the town square. It's ridiculous. I put it together much better in my blog, but I'm tired. It's been fucking crazy today. I'm just not into it. You know, I'm into it, but I'm not doing a good job of getting my thoughts together, which is why Joe will probably rip me apart right here.
Uh-oh. Well, I think in a way it is like a town square, and both Twitter and Facebook have transcended their original vision, where so many people are on it. It's like the phone company saying that they didn't like a conversation you had and then took away your phone service. I go, it is a free speech issue. So the fact is that they've overlapped it where if we put something on there that they even minutely think is offensive, when it's not, they'll ban you, they'll suspend you. So I think you've gotten out of hand and heavy-handed on what they view, what they want to carry, and what they don't. If there was a threat of a lawsuit, they might be a little bit more not as heavy-handed. Anymore.
Yeah, but Joe, I'll tell you this. If there's a threat of a lawsuit, I'm not allowing any political discussions. Left, right, or I'm going to shut down my town square. You want to sue? No more. And I'll tell you what, no more politicians on there. If you hold a place in public office, you can't speak your mind on my platform anymore because it's not worth it to me. I'll shut it all down. It's like I always say, we can't have anything nice because eventually somebody's going to ruin it. So I'll shut it all down. You're not worth it to me. If I'm the owner of Twitter, whether it be Jack Dorsey or Elon Musk or Kevin Lee, it's not worth it for me to allow this for you to sue me and take away all this I put effort into. I'll just say no more political discourse. You don't like it? Go someplace else. Scram.
Now, I think there's been a lot of overreach on that. And, hey, if you had the law where you could, you know, you're not regulating freedom of speech, you're not going to get sued.
Well, it's not freedom of speech because, again, freedom of speech, how many times, pertains to the government persecuting you. You know, if Joe gets kicked off of Twitter, you know what happens? Joe's kicked off Twitter. He's not going to jail. You know, Joe will have to create a fake profile and use a VPN so he can have a new account up there. But nobody's going to jail unless you make a threat. If you threaten somebody, if you go, hey, I'm going to go to Buffalo and shoot up a supermarket. All right, that might have legal consequences. But if you think, I think Joe Biden's the devil, you might get kicked off Twitter. That wouldn't get you kicked off Twitter.
But that's what I'm saying. If you think, I think Joe Biden's the devil, you know. if you're going to go on there and use the N-word, death threats, stuff like that, obviously that does not go. That's not freedom of speech. That's harassment and derogatory. But if you're saying something like, and it is to the point where you said, you know, if you post Joe Biden in a devil outfit, you know, you have somebody go, well, we don't want that on our platform. It's like, you got to be kidding me. It's getting overreach. You know, they're getting a little.
Yeah, but Joe, if they overreach that much, then they'll lose business. The people will go someplace else. Go, all right, Twitter. The Twitter rules have gotten ridiculous. We can't talk about anything here. Let's go someplace else. But we haven't seen that, which is why things like Donald Trump's Truth Social and other various right-wing things, they don't go anywhere. Because pretty much you could still say whatever you want, for the most part, on Twitter, on Facebook. Do they overreach sometimes? Sure. They got a little crazy with the COVID stuff on Twitter and Facebook, where it's like, you know, if you said perhaps, you know, COVID was concocted by the Chinese in a lab. No, you can't say that on our platform.
Well, they had to put an end to that, Davin. There was a lot of you know,
listen, I don't
misinformation being put out, right, by people who aren't doctors or even scientists or anything.
Do I think they should have done it? Not necessarily. But again, it's their platform. I've never paid a dime to Twitter on Facebook. If it all goes away tomorrow, it costs me nothing. But a lot of people who are
probably better off.
Well, we all would, actually. But a lot of people have made millions and millions of dollars off of social media, whether they be on the right wing or the left wing, as hucksters or selling a book as Joe. Those people have something at stake. And those people get attention by being outrageous. Your average person, this doesn't affect. Most of us are not going to say something so inflammatory that we're going to be catch Twitter's ire or Facebook's ire. I mean, and I'll tell you what.
You ever been in Facebook jail?
I have.
So have I.
Okay.
How'd you guys wind up at Facebook jail?
I don't even remember. It was something that shouldn't have been.
I was arguing with a racist, and when I called him names, I got kicked off of Facebook, but the guy that was being racist didn't get kicked off. So.
Yeah, but it wasn't a freedom of speech thing because you didn't go to jail. You went to Facebook jail. Okay.
I know. Why does everybody come out of Facebook jail like they got out of Shawshank, you know?
I know, they all have to announce it. I did 30 days in the Facebook clink. Did you?
So, well, when I got kicked off,
I
didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't even tell Patricia. I didn't tell nobody I got kicked off Facebook. It was quiet as kept. I just wasn't on Facebook for, four or five days. I didn't say it to my spouse. I didn't say it to my mother. I didn't tell nobody I got kicked off of Facebook. It was just something that happened, and it passed in 4 days. I was back on, and life went on.
I got like a 24-hour suspension on Facebook. Was I annoyed? Yes. Did I think it was bullshit? Yes. Did I go, let me get my lawyer on the phone?
I was annoyed the first day because I had an upcoming show. Of course, I wanted to promote my show and stuff like that. But other than that, I wanted to promote my, you know, I use it for my career sometimes.
Right, we're using it.
But other than that, I wasn't annoyed.
Listen, man.
They shook their finger at me about something, which I forgot. They didn't give me the boo to put me in jail, but they shook their finger at me about something.
But imagine this. Joe has a fruit stand, has a produce store, and I walk in and I go, F Trump, F everybody who hates Trump. You know, Trump is saying blah blah blah. Shouldn't Joe have the right to say, you can feel that way, but I don't want it in my place of business. This is not.
Hey, look, listen to me. If you're buying sort of like fucking bananas and tangerines, right? You can say whatever the fuck you want.
All right, but you should.
Off the scale.
Yeah.
When that like what just happened with the Uber driver, right?
He kicked somebody out for being a racist.
He kicked him out for being a racist. He didn't want that in his car.
Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is, Joe should have the right. The Uber driver should say it's not a freedom of speech thing. You can be whatever you want, just not where I'm paying rent or I'm leasing or whatever or on my property.
But you're talking about a fruit stand. If you had it as a gathering spot, Joe has a gathering spot for people to come in and say what they want. But if I'm starting to limit it, not through threats, not through derogatory words, but people having ideas, you know, from silencing it. Well, what did you have it for in the first place?
Yeah, but if Joe decides, because Joe's put together this spot and Joe's paid for all the upkeep of the spot, and Joe's planted all the trees and made it a very welcoming and gathering, and then Joe all of a sudden decides, go, you know what? I don't like those ideas. I don't want you at my gathering spot. Okay, it's Joe's gathering spot. I'll take it along. It's not a freedom of speech thing. It's a freedom of speech in Joe's gathering spot because it's Joe's gathering spot. I can still.
But what if Joe's gathering spot transcended itself to where millions and millions and millions of people throughout the world are on it. It transcended it from Joe's gathering spot and may have to come under some of the laws, the constitutional laws that we have in the country, which is freedom of speech.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't, because you know what? Because Joe put the blood, sweat, and tears to build it to that. Joe invested in it. Joe pays people. It's still Joe's. See, that's where we disagree. At no point do I take away all the investment, all the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into your gathering spot, especially when you don't charge me admission. You're not charging me to use this. I signed terms of agreement. Listen, you come into Joe's gathering spot. I don't like you saying the word pickle. I'm offended by the word pickle. It rhymes with tickle, and there was an incident once. So there'll be no tickling or pickling in Joe's gathering spot. So I said, okay, I really want to use Joe's gathering spot, but I can't pickle or tickle. I can't show a pickle. I can't have a pickle. And there certainly will be no tickling in Joe's gathering spot. And Joe's gathering spot grows and grows and grows and grows. And then one day, I decide I want to tickle a pickle in Joe's gathering spot. Joe has the right to say, I don't want to tickle the pickle. I asked you not to do one thing. This was the rules, which you agreed to. I have it right here in the terms of agreement. The one thing, yes, it's grown, but I asked you not to do this one thing, and you couldn't do that one thing. You should have that right.
I think if it transcends itself and gets bigger than what it originally was, and is at a forefront in society and in the country, I think that it changes the dynamic, and there are certain constitutional rules that might apply to it.
Trump was.
Is it always a constitutional rule, though? Like a comedian that was fired from Borgata, remember, for doing Trump jokes?
No, wait, what's this?
A comedian got fired from the Borgata for doing
Trump. Recently?
It happened about a couple years ago.
For doing, no.
It's a black guy. What's his name? I know him, too. I worked with him at Gotham before. Tall black guy. I can't think of his name right now. But he's working in the Borgata on the comedy show there in the Music Box Theater, and was doing some Trump jokes, and he got fired. You know, it was, at that time, Richie Mantovani had it, so it was a four-night run.
You couldn't do Trump jokes on there?
He got fired.
Now, was there something that said you can't do political jokes?
Not to his knowledge. Nobody told him he couldn't. But he
all got, right, you know
he
what?
He got sent home for it, though, yeah. Well, he had some walkouts, I guess, in the middle of his set. Somebody complained, got to the head office of the Borgata, and they called the front office or whatever and said, this comedian's off the show. So
it sucks, off the show, but yeah. it's their stage.
So that's my point, yeah. So, yeah, they kicked him off, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, what Joe is saying is that if you get so big, then all of a sudden the government can go after you. That is so anti-capitalism. That because I'm so successful, government can come after me. So why do I want to be that successful? Let's keep it small. That way, that's why the 50 million thing is arbitrary. All right, let's keep it to 49,999,000, whatever it is. So I get stay under the government's radar. It's ridiculous. Just follow the rules. Whatever the rules are. If you don't like it, do what Donald Trump did and create, you know, Truth Social, and he doesn't even post on there, so even he knows it sucks. But you know, you have options, or don't, or go to 4chan. You know, we were talking about these websites where you can post whatever nonsense you want. Go for it, have at it. I just don't want it in my house.
I think that, you know, like with the Borgata, yeah, I don't think they should have fired him for that. But if you're talking about the Borgata, which is about a 300 plus seat theater, if it got to the point where it was a million seat theater and there was other people, not just him, but you had other people in the context of that show saying their feelings, and it got to the point, well, here's this stage, everybody's coming up and has the right, you know, is saying what they're saying, and now it's not a 300 seat theater anymore, it's a 25 million seat theater, it may come under certain rules of the Constitution,
John Lester,
and the entity that it was.
John Lester.
Yeah.
Fired from Borgata.
So, I mean, so then there's no incentive for me to be successful, because if I get too successful, all of a sudden it's like a communist country and the government's going to come after me. I mean, that's what we're saying.
Yeah,
that is a,
almost.
Well, that's what I'm trying to protect against. The lib on the show is trying to stick up for corporate rights. It's like, what are we doing here? You know, these are the rules. Abide by them. Do I think the rules suck sometimes? Yeah. Do I think they make bad decisions? Yeah. But it's their rules. It costs me nothing to use it. You know what? Here's what I would do. If I'm Twitter,
but you have to worry about if it transcends that to every other area of entertainment.
So here's what I do if I'm Twitter. Now we're going to have an annual fee of $5 or $10, whatever it is a year, whatever I decide to pay for the legal costs that I might have to use to defend it. Now Twitter's no longer free. So you know what? Some people would stay on it and say, "Oh, that's completely worth it," and other people would migrate it. But you're penalizing them so that you know how these things work. It always gets passed along. So go for it, Texas. Go for it, 49 other states. Go after Twitter. Go after Facebook. You're gonna ruin it. You're going to ruin it just because they don't like what they consider objectionable. And Donald Trump got kicked off of Twitter because he was inciting a riot. That's why Donald Trump got kicked off Twitter. And he said he was going to create his own social media platform. And he did. And it turns out nobody likes it, including him.
Yeah, well, he's going to end up back on Twitter.
Well, I mean, Elon Musk said, you know, and the same thing. Elon Musk said, you know, if I own Twitter.
Well, I don't think Trump's platform worked. But the simple reason is that if you ask anybody, you know, that is a Trump supporter, what didn't you like about Trump? And he's got to stay off Twitter.
Yeah, but there are those supporters where, like, he tells it like it is, in their opinion, and everything. Listen.
He's got to stay, you know. They had Sean Spicer on WOR, and he was talking about, well, if Trump was going to run again, what do you think is the most important thing he should do? And even Spicer said he's got to stay off Twitter. This was a couple of weeks ago. You know, he's got to stay off Twitter.
But to my point. So say we'll pretend Elon Musk is going to own Twitter. Like 77, 76. We'll pretend Elon Musk is going to own Twitter because he. So here's the thing. Do I think our nation is better served with Donald Trump not on Twitter? Yeah, things are calmer. But to my point that I was saying, if Elon Musk is the owner and Elon Musk wants Donald Trump on Twitter, okay, I'm fine with it. I can either not watch the news. I can either not go on Twitter. I can do whatever. But it's his company. He can do whatever he wants. My point is consistent. If you own the company, you make the rules, whether I like it or I don't like it. I like the fact that Trump isn't on Twitter. I think the country's better off that way. But if Elon Musk wants to put him on and Trump wants to go on, okay. He's the boss. I can still use Twitter and not use Twitter.
Is that okay with you?
Why is that? Because if Elon Musk pays to use Twitter, he makes the rules. I'm fine with it.
So it's okay to put, because you own a company, it's okay to have hate?
Well, I mean, within the, like, you can't threaten somebody because that's federal law.
On Twitter, people in many ways. And they're not the friendliest gang of folks.
Huh? Okay. I mean, you can threaten people in many ways. You don't have to threaten people outright, you know? I mean, When Trump was president, people were marching through Charlottesville, Virginia, saying Jews would not replace us with tiki torches.
Yeah, correct? But Donald Trump wasn't marching through.
No, he wasn't, but...
Don't make me defend Trump.
I'm just saying...
Don't make me defend Trump.
Okay, I won't, but you think that had nothing to do with Trump being in office?
No, I think it does, but that has nothing to do with him being on Twitter.
That's my point.
Listen.
Well, I think it had something to do with removing statues.
I don't want to go back in time and talk about statues. I don't want to go. We've had that conversation more times than is necessary. My point is this. I believe if you're not breaking a federal law or a state law, like I can't go on Twitter and go, I'm gonna drive to Kevin Lee's house and kill him. The police might want to talk to me if I do that. If you are not breaking existing laws, you know, in your place of business, do what you want. Listen, if it gets too toxic, you'll lose people eventually. You'll become 4chan. And I don't think Twitter's business model is to become 4chan because corporations go, I don't want to advertise on 4chan. So, you know.
No, they're not going to go to 4chan.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I got no problem with these businesses doing what they want. One way or the other, because they made the investment. They're the one that had the foresight. They're the one that invested in all the analytics and everything and the algorithms. I mean, so now the government, I don't like what you, this is a right-wing butthurt thing. This is like when we were kids, you know, we'd be playing ball. Me and Kevin are playing ball, and I foul Kevin, and Kevin calls a foul, and Kevin's bigger than me. You go, oh, yo, all right, Kevin, you're being a jerk about it. Keep it up. I'm going to sue. I mean, that's what we did as kids. Yeah. You know, I'm going to sue. I'm going to tell my dad. That's what this is. Shut up and play ball. Enough. Stop being pussies.
I used to do that as a kid. Well, we're going to sue, of course. We'll go to the little 12-year-old Jacoby and Myers.
But that that's what this is. It's funny you mention. It's funny we mention this because in one of the stories we're going to cover, that actually comes up. One of the people goes, "I'm going to sue you." It's
I'll tell you something honestly. It was an unfortunate circumstance, but I met my buddy Owen, who was my friend as a kid, and we used to say we were going to sue each other. We're supposed to get together in July. I got to remind myself when we're hanging out to remind. Remember when we was in constant litigation with each other?
But that's what this is. That's what this is. This is the same thing with Florida and Disney. You're butthurt, and now we're going to sue. We have no principles about free speech because Disney. Because if we really cared about free speech, we wouldn't be going after Disney. Now, would we?
I disagree with that, and the fact that with this thing, this correlates to free speech. Now, with the whole thing with Disney, is sour grapes. And the ruling that they have is that they're being a little too much, you know, they're being a little woke in their views, and that constitutes them to not renew copyrights. That constitutes them to start to make them not their own government entity, which means that people will have to pay tax. That has nothing to do with why they're doing that. You know what I'm saying? It has absolutely nothing to do, so it's kind of an overreach there.
Listen.
It's not a freedom of, you know.
Here's what I will blame Donald Trump for. Before we had Donald Trump, we never had a president of the United States, right, left, center, whatever, go after private businesses, private American companies in this way. We saw Donald Trump start that. He went after Harley Davidson. I mean, talking about an American company, went after Harley Davidson. He got upset at like one of the union guys at Carrier Air Conditioning. I mean, we saw him going after like a big American businesses, and we're seeing it again. It's maybe the left probably does it too, but not to this extent. I mean, and I'm not the big corporate shill, but I mean, enough. I mean, at some point you go, all right, they disagree with me. I can use the product. I cannot use the product. I can go to Disney. I cannot go to Disney. I don't have to ruin it for everybody else, but that's where we are in this country because we're all a bunch of babies. Like I said, we're Gallagher. Not that Gallagher's a baby. You know, we used to be really good, and now we're still living on our past. All right, let's move on. This poll got a lot of action.
How are you picking on prop comics? Okay.
Sorry, Kevin. I'll pick on you. A Memphis-based meteorologist is under investigation by his employer for using a racial slur in a tweet about Warrior star Draymond Green amid the Grizzly Warriors playoff series. According to the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Wow, that's a wordy thing. Fox 13 Memphis chief meteorologist Joey Sulipek, who is white, tweeted the following after game three. And chew on this. Draymond runs his knuckle-dragging open mouth all game long, but mild-mannered Kyle Anderson disputes one call and gets ejected. Next level jackassery. Sulipek reportedly deleted the tweet after facing backlash, pussy, and he later deleted his entire Twitter account, bigger pussy. Yeah, if you're gonna, come on, stop it. Stand by it. Jesus Christ. Before deleting his Twitter account, the weatherman reportedly tweeted, "Anyone who knows me knows what I am. Race is never an issue to me." Honestly, everybody always says that. "To anyone who was offended, I apologize, but there was no ill intent." There was some ill intent.
Why did he take it down if he felt that way?
Because he's a pussy. Okay. According to the screen grabs on social media, Green reacted to the situation and posted on an Instagram story writing, "Are you surprised?" with a bunch of crying, laughing emojis. Don't apologize. Stand on it. I agree, Draymond. I agree. Draymond Green chimes in on the knuckle-dragging Jason Dumas. During Saturday's Memphis Grizzlies game, meteorologist Joey Sulipek tweeted a comment that does not reflect the values of Fox 13. "We take this matter very seriously and we'll take appropriate action pending a full investigation." The Memphis television station acknowledged the weatherman's tweet and released a statement on Twitter that read, "During Saturday's Memphis Grizzlies game, meteorologist Jack Sulipek tweeted a comment." Yeah, I read that already. All right. "The phrase knuckle dragging can have a number of meanings, including racist tropes used to compare black people to apes. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr was asked about Sulipek's tweet on Sunday and said he was not surprised about the reported tweet aimed at Green. Steve Kerr said he's not surprised by a weatherman derogatory tweet at Draymond Green." Really? I don't remember Frank Field having fucking weighing in on shit like this. I'm a little surprised that a weatherman is this type of time. Don't you have a tornado to worry about? Does it surprise me that a weatherman... Seriously. isn't there a storm front coming in that needs your attention? "Does it surprise me that a weatherman would tweet a slur at Draymond in 2022? Not in the slightest bit," Kerr said. "This is America. This is how we operate." So this is the poll I put in. A lot of action on this poll. The question was, a white weatherman called a black NBA player a knuckle dragger. Should he be fired? 68% said yes. 32% said no. I went back and forth on this. I'll tell you why I did. Because at first, when I heard the term knuckle dragger, I think about the shit that Patrick Ewing used to have to deal with in 1985 when he was the Georgetown Hoyas. I mean, they went after a college kid, for God's sakes. Not even a professional athlete. Not that it's better. But they would throw bananas on the court because they said Patrick Ewing looked like an ape. Again, they're doing this to a college kid. Right. And it evoked that.
Well, Bill Russell got it worse, but yeah, okay, that's another story.
I'm sure he did, yeah. But I wasn't alive. I wasn't alive. Right. I remember.
You remember.
But then I think, you know what? With the mouth breathing and the knuckle draggers, we do use it to describe heathens, not necessarily of a particular color. You know, like, oh, you know, I've talked about
love. Really?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I've called
really? Stupid.
I've referred to dumb people as like mouth breathers and stuff like that. So that's why I've gone back. My first impulse was, this is racist.
Right.
He has to go.
Right.
And now I'm like, well, I don't know this guy's history and the player he was sticking up for. Now, calling him mild mannered doesn't really help because that makes me think of Uncle Tom if we're talking about race and everything. But the player he was sticking up for, Kyle Anderson, is an African American too. So I could imagine, like, if it was an African man and he's sticking up for a white guy, oh my God, that's a lot more cut and dry. So I don't know if this guy needs to use his job. Does the guy have a history of it? If he doesn't,
a history to be racist.
But I'm saying I don't.
I mean, he's a weatherman. We don't know what goes on in his private house,
right? But I don't know enough about Draymond.
Because he's a weatherman.
No, but I don't know. I'm not a big enough of an NBA fan.
I am, so I can answer any questions.
Well, I mean, is Draymond Green come across as intelligent and well thought out when he speaks? I don't know.
Yeah, he's a very outspoken guy. He's very
flamboyant
on the court. He's a great basketball player. He's a very dark-skinned man. Very dark-skinned man.
But, I mean, do most people consider him articulate? Now, people, I'll give you a career.
Matter of fact, he has a career as an analyst when he retires from the NBA.
Okay. So that's like a lot of people hate Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving, believe it or not, was a flat earther. But if you ever listen to Kyrie Irving talk, he sounds like a very intelligent, thoughtful man. I would never call Kyrie Irving, unless I was being racist, which I wouldn't be, but I would never call Kyrie a knuckle dragger because I've heard Kyrie because I'm a Nets fan.
Guys are first of all college educated people.
Yeah, but a lot of times they're there for a year and then they're gone.
And no, most of these guys do 4 years.
Most NBA players do not do 4 years.
Most of these guys graduate college.
They play 1 year. When they were allowed to, they would come right from high school, and I can't begrudge them. Right, but no, most of these, they have to play 1 year. And I can't begrudge them that. If you have a chance to make millions in 1 year in college, you can always get your degree.
Most of these guys are educated guys. Most of these guys are multimillionaires.
No, but being a multimillionaire doesn't mean...
And most of these guys have people that, you know...
I don't know...
I'm going to take up for these guys because I follow their careers and I know them. I mean, they're not... When a white man calls a black man a knuckle dragger, he's not calling him a knuckle dragger because it's just a word you throw around.
Be closer to the microphone.
It's not a word you throw around just to throw around, like, you know.
It is weird. It is weird that he would call I guess he's upset because of the way Draymond Green conducts himself on the court. It is weird that knuckle dragger and mouth breather is what he would go to if it's not racist. Like, I would, now here's another racially charged one, but say I don't like the way Draymond Green is very aggressive on the court. Again, I don't follow basketball well enough to know. I could call him a thug on the court, and that could also be construed as racism, but I could easily say, well, you see the way this guy has flagrant fouls? He's behaving like a thug.
Well, remember a few years ago, I think it was an analyst or somebody got in trouble for calling LeBron James and his group of thugs you know, he called the guys that LeBron hangs out with a group of thugs.
Well, that is racist, because if you've ever listened to LeBron James talk, and he's not a college graduate, yeah, he just went right from high school. Yeah. But if you ever listened to LeBron James speak, that's an intelligent human being. LeBron James is not hanging out with quote unquote thugs. You might not like his political views. He's not a thug. No, a LeBron James, you know, most.
Yeah, but that's just, you know, I mean.
But in that case, it's racist.
And told to shut up and dribble. But my whole point.
That's racist.
That's right. But no, let me say this real quickly. The knuckle dragon thing is definitely racist. It's not even debate about it. We have to stop seeing stuff and pretending and then making excuses for things. Like, as an African American man, I don't want everything to be racist. I don't live for racism. But I'm not going to pretend.
I'm not going to pretend
that it's not racist.
I'm just saying to you that I have thought of white people.
But what
I'm saying is I have thought in my head of white people as knuckle draggers and mouth breathers. Right. So I understand the connotation when it's a white guy saying it to a black guy. And for that reason, I understand why Fox is like, we got to fire this. Yeah, speaking the microphone.
You can convince one person. You can't find 10 people on the street that believe O.J. Simpson is innocent. And we had no videotape of it.
No, they found 10 people. They found 10 people in the courtroom.
We actually see murders now with cameras and still have to debate if they're innocent.
But that's not this.
That's where we live at.
But that's not this.
Well, I'm just saying, it is the same thing.
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing at all.
He was being racist.
Okay, I certainly
okay, listen. For the sake of the radio I show, we have understand. Debated, but it's not really a debate. But for the sake of the radio show, it's a debate.
Here's the deal. You could if he was making like during his newscast and said something, and it, you know, maybe he said something wrong and it was stupid. But I'm going to read this and chew on this. Draymond runs his knuckle dragging open mouth all game long, and then when he wants to say, "I apologize," but there was no ill intent. You make a statement like that, and you put that in there. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. There was no intent. Then you don't get what you just said. All they could have said, and chew on this. Draymond is opening his mouth all game long, but that's all you had to say. Because if you everybody, you know, you gotta always have a big mouth out there. You always have that. So, you know, he wouldn't say it. You know, but knuckle dragging, and then you turn around and say. I apologize, but there was no ill intent, which tells me that you don't get it, what you said.
Now, here, I don't think he should lose his job, because I don't think his job has anything to do with him being a racist. If we start firing everybody that's a racist, nobody can have a job.
But if I'm a corporation, I certainly don't need to have what people perceive as a racist on my TV, you know.
Well, personal opinion is what I'm saying. He's obviously been on this newscast for a while. Maybe he's established with this company. He's probably good at his job. He's probably newscasters are normally local celebrities or whatever in their town or city that they work in. All right, so his personal feelings have now come out, right? But that doesn't change what he does on his job Monday through Fridays on the newscast, right?
See, you and I disagree again. I don't know if this guy was racist or not. I don't know. I understand why you say I don't know.
I think it's a debate, but go ahead.
But if I'm the business and there's the perception that this guy's racist, you got to go. I'm sorry. And as a public figure, you need to be more in control of your Twitter feed. And as Joe said, you clearly don't get it. So that's why you have to go. Because I don't want to have to answer questions about my stupid weatherman. That's the last thing I want to do is dealing with protesters and advertisers pulling out because my weatherman has a Twitter brain fart. You got to go.
Well, maybe he didn't think. Maybe he didn't think at the time about the backlash because a lot of times.
Oh, clearly he didn't.
A lot of times people don't realize. Well, this happens all the time.
But the only thing about that is that when you are, and especially in this day and age, whether you're a newscaster, a weathercaster, or an accountant or something like that, if you post something like that on there, you don't know that's wrong. You don't know that you're going to come under fire with that, especially in a public position like that, And like I said, I apologize, but there was no ill intent. I don't know how you could be so ignorant of that. I'm on the fence whether he should be fired or whether he should be suspended. I mean, I say suspend him for a couple of weeks. But then I go back to, but there was no ill intent. send him to sensitivity training. If you want to keep him, send him to sensitivity training and do that, which I'm not for that stuff either. But if you're that blatant and you don't know that you don't have the comprehension of what you wrote, and you said, I apologize, but I really didn't mean that, then you don't know what you're not conscious of what you're doing. So I'm really on the fence with this, over suspension or firing.
Hey, Joe, on my podcast last week, we discussed this whole thing about NBA players, black NBA players dealing with racism a lot over the last couple of years. Kyrie Irving's been called the N-word. A few other NBA players have been called the N-word in the middle of the game because they're missing shots or their team is losing. So fans now feel like they can show up at these games and harass the players. And then when the players react by giving them Kyrie Irving gave some fans in Boston the finger as he was walking out, and he got fined by the NBA for that. You know, fans would call him the N-word. He gave them the finger, and he gets fined. You know, the NBA fines him. So
yeah.
So, but then the other star for Phoenix. I don't know if you guys heard this, but his
who? Chris Paul.
Chris Paul's wife and wife were harassed by a fan 2 weeks ago while he's on the court playing.
Fans gotta be escorted out. Gotta be escorted out. Down
and harasses his wife and his mother in the stands watching. Chris Paul sees this and goes over, you know, to the fan, and he's giving the fan the business, saying, "I'll kick your ass, you know. Leave my wife, my wife and mother's off limits. I'll beat your ass." He gets fined.
See here, I'm of the newly found Mike Tyson rule. If you are going to start talking shit to somebody who is clearly bigger than you and can clearly kick your ass, that person has two options, and both are perfectly acceptable. They get the authorities to handle it, or they get to whoop your ass. I am fine with both of those solutions.
I call it the Charles Barkley thing, because remember Charles Barkley threw a fan, a rude fan, through a window. Remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh, you got to Google this one. Yeah, Charles Barkley was harassed probably 20 years ago by a fan in Phoenix, and Charles Barkley picked him up and threw him through a plate glass window at a restaurant. The guy didn't die, thank God, but yeah, he got. And then Mike Tyson just beat the crap out of some guy on a plane a few weeks ago, right?
And they're not pressing charges against Tyson.
No, the guy was totally wrong.
But you want to know something? You know, Kevin, you're telling your story about the players on the court. Doesn't it remind you of the club where you're trying to entertain people and you have a heckler?
Yeah.
Guy gets out of hand, but meanwhile, you're the fucking problem, you know?
But we're trained to deal with hecklers. Most of us are trained to deal with hecklers. And we also got, you know, club owners that should come over and remove the heckler or tell them to be quiet. An NBA player, these people feel like they have, you know, because they spend $200 to get in and $250 to sit in, or sometimes $1,000 to sit down. Somebody made a good point. NBA players are the only athletes that the fans are right up on them. Like in the NFL or baseball, you're really separated from the fans. Hockey, you got the glass thing that goes around, or the plexiglass. I mean, with NBA players, you're actually right basically next to the players if you got good seats.
Right.
You know, you can reach out and touch them in most cases. You're sitting on the floor. So there's no protection for these guys. You're right there. So when you scream at the players or call them names, or they hear you. That's why I've been in a lot of fights. You know, Ron Artest ran into the stands years ago and got in a big fight.
You mean Metapiece?
Yes, Metapiece. Got in a fight with a fan, remember? I think it was in
Detroit.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. So NBA players are getting harassed. They're getting called all sorts of racial slurs by these fans now. I don't know if they're drunk or whatever they are, but it's happening a lot.
We are far.
Now, in the case of that, have they been, and it's once again, it's like the club. Have they been ejecting these people immediately?
Well, no. The NBA players who are millionaires are being fined.
Well, no, but a lot of times an athlete can like point and go, "That guy's a problem," and security will kick them out. I mean, that does happen. I've seen that happen plenty of times.
Same thing as the club, you know, you blame the entertainment, you don't blame the heckler. You know?
No, like if somebody's harassing, to use Chris Paul's wife or something. You know, first of all, if security would have seen that, they would have gotten that guy out of it, because security knows where the important people are sitting.
Well, they should have saw it, but they didn't.
Well, they're not. But what I'm saying is, all Chris Paul had to do was, I understand why he did what he did, but all he had to do was go to security and go, they got to go. And they would have gone. Because you know what? You can't have the star attraction of an NBA player go, you know, I'm not going to fucking play.
So if you're performing, you're not a celebrity, right? But if you're performing at a comedy club and you got your wife and daughter in the audience, and you see some heckler going over, picking on him while you're on stage, what are you going to do? You're on stage telling your jokes. You're in a room that holds 500 people. Your wife and daughter's in the back of the room.
You just happen to see some comedy's a fan over. Comedy's a fucked up industry in that it does not value the performers. That being said, what would I do? If I'm smart about me, what I would do, if I was working here in a respectable club that actually had security, and most of them don't, but every NBA game has security, as it should. But if it was I had security, I would stop the show. Listen, this person over here is attacking my family. There's no show until this person is removed. That's what you do.
I think in the heat of the moment, yeah, you know what, though? If this was backstage or something like that, you could have that conversation. I think in the heat of the moment and the human element, if somebody is harassing my mother and my wife.
Oh, yeah, you go nuts in the heat of the moment, yeah.
I don't have a problem with Chris Paul.
No, the heat of the moment, you want to. Yeah, your wife and your mother. You don't mess with. This is, all right, you mess with nobody's mother.
We're far.
Your brother's mother.
We're far astray.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, well, what I'm saying is. Because in my own head, I've thought to myself, of regardless of color, because there's been plenty of white people that I've thought in my own head, well, that's a mouth breather. Many of them Trump supporters. that's a knuckle dragger. Many of them Trump supporters. Again, in my own head, that's why I can see, well, maybe it wasn't racist. Because I don't know this guy. But I understand why you would think it is racist. And that's why I understand if Fox goes, we don't need this shit. You're just a weather guy. We'll get a hot chick out here to do the weather in a miniskirt. I don't need you, Joey. Bye-bye. That's why I don't have a problem with the fire.
The hottest white player in the NBA right now, I mean, is Lucas Donis.
Hold on. Well, Joe, and then and Kevin, sorry, what, Joe?
Yeah, go ahead.
Joe, what?
Oh, what? A hot chick in a miniskirt? Fired. So fired. Bring out the girl.
Yeah, okay.
Lucas, I was going to just say the hottest NBA player right now. One of the hottest players in the NBA is a white guy. His name is Luka Doncic.
Two-time MVP?
Plays for Dallas Mavericks. The guy is freaking awesome.
Two-time MVP?
This guy wouldn't have called him a knuckle-dragger. That's all I'm going to say.
No, Luka.
He wouldn't have called him that. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you say, this guy wouldn't have called Luka Doncic?
No, he wouldn't have used that term for Luka Doncic. No matter how much he didn't like him. It just wouldn't have happened.
I don't understand why. See, in this way, you know, maybe it's racist. Because I don't understand why you would refer to him as a knuckle-dragger. Like, if he, maybe you call him a heathen. A moron, an idiot. I mean, knuckle dragger is very specific where it can be
no
triggering.
To call him a knuckle dragger and then call him a knuckle and say, well, there was no ill intent. You're bullshitting. You're full of shit. And you didn't. And if you're not, then you're stupid. You know, I mean, he's not, you know,
Big black guy, man. Draymond Green is what, 6'9"? He's a very dark skinned guy. He's a big, huge black man. And that, to some white people, unless you're playing catch the ball or shoot the ball, to some
people, there is no debate. The intent was ill. The debate could be, was he being racist or not? We've had that debate, but there's no debate. The intent was ill.
There's no debate. No.
You never go, oh Joey, my little knuckle dragger. You're so cute. You're demeaning. He's clearly trying to demean Draymond Green.
Now, I don't know if anybody old enough to remember, and we're all about the same age or whatever, but remember Jimmy the Greek back in the day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With the whole look at his monkey run. I found
No. That was George Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell. Okay. I thought that was innocent. I don't think when he said that, he meant it.
He did not.
The way it came out.
I mean, look how much. Look at the love Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali had for each other.
Nobody.
But today, if he said it, he'd be fired.
But that's why he had a career. That's why he continued to have a career, because everybody realized that Howard Cosell didn't mean it. People know when something's not malice.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. This guy's not famous enough. This guy, but you don't know enough.
Jimmy the Greek got in trouble for the same thing, though.
No, Jimmy the Greek got in trouble because he was saying like black people are predispositioned, they're like or not intelligent enough.
No, he was saying that they're built to be better athletes.
Right,
But he was telling the truth. That is the truth. But he can't say that. But it's
what he said. What he said is really career-ending.
Yeah. And that goes way. That's a whole nother show. That goes way back to slavery. But we'll get into that later.
All right. Let's
you know, like, yeah. I mean, this guy. don't know.
What station is this guy on? I'm going to call and ask for him to be fired.
Fox.
I'll call the station later.
Fox 13.
He's done.
Okay. All right. President Biden's trailblazing pick for his new press secretary is already being accused of creating troubling conflicts of interest because of her long-term relationship with star CNN reporter Susan Malveaux. Karine Jean-Pierre, who next Friday, I guess this Friday, will be both the first black and first openly gay person to hold the key Washington Post, lives with the network's national correspondent in Washington, D.C., with their seven-year-old daughter. The Haitian-born press pick gushed about her relationship with Malveaux in Jean-Pierre's 2019 memoir, Moving Forward. Most of all, I want to say that every word of this book was written with love for my partner, Susan Malveaux, and our daughter, Soleil Malveaux Jean-Pierre. And I'll tell you what, that's going to be a bitch to put on the back of a jersey. Let's hope this kid doesn't play sports. You are my life, she wrote, also thanking the Malveaux family. I don't know why that's included in this article. She loves her family. Why is that included? I would expect her to love her family. It's weird. While Jean-Pierre's groundbreaking pick for the White House post was widely celebrated, also left some questioning her and Malveaux's impartiality. CNN's recent scandals have included now axed host Chris Cuomo's behind-the-scenes meddling in brother and then-Governor Andrew Cuomo's sex scandals. It also came after her soon-to-be predecessor, Jen Psaki, sparked similar conflict concerns for keeping the job for 6 weeks after it was widely reported she'd been hired by left-leaning network MSNBC. We all know these people are going to cable networks. We all know that shit. They can't be done with the job soon enough, whether it be Fox, CNN, MSNBC. Stop it. Stop it, New York Post.
They're all going to go to cable, and they're all
going to
have a book.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we know that. We know what that is now. Soon after Jean-Pierre's new gig was announced, Alex Marlow, editor-in-chief of right-wing news outlet Breitbart, tweeted, "This is one of the many examples of the corporate media literally in bed with the government it covers." Marlow, they're all corporate media. If you weren't, we wouldn't be reading your opinions, you dumb motherfuckers. Marlow, no. Now I'm going to get yelled at by my wife. We can hear you. Marlow noted that he had already raised concerns about Jean-Pierre's relationship with Malveaux in his book, Breaking the News, exposing the establishment media's hidden deals and secret corruption. CNN will continue to be, in effect, Biden's administration's communication shop, his news site Breitbart claimed. And we would never do something like that, Steve Bannon, Breitbart. Anyway, this is one of many examples of the I mean, really, the audacity. This is one of the many examples of corporate media literally in bed with the government it covers. Bannon was running Breitbart, and he got a job in the Trump administration. Are you kidding me? Editor-in-chief of the right-wing news outlet Breitbart. He had already raised concerns about the couple's and that's what about is. I know it is. He had already raised concerns about the couple's relationship and its possible influence in his book, Breaking the News, Exposing... All right, I read that. A researcher also asked on Twitter, what in the name of the universe were this not a conflict of interest? But Juwan Holmes, the associate editor of LGBTQ Nation, said he has spent 2 years covering Jean-Pierre's rise and insisted that she's the best person for the job. She might be. Doesn't mean there's not a conflict of interest. She might be the best person. Still, Holmes conceded that her relationship to Malveaux was bound to eventually spark accusations of conflict of interest. I'm sure there won't be Cuomo-level conflict of interest violations. Well, we didn't know there was going to be Cuomo levels of conflict violations until there were Cuomo level of conflict violations. So we don't know. We stop. You don't know. It's possible. But expected to have it brought up in the future, he said. Malveaux, 55, has previously shared her partner's major achievement. CNN has yet to officially comment, but network sources told the Post that while Malveaux will remain one of its national correspondents, she will not cover the White House or other politics while her partner serves in her new role. Meanwhile, Jean-Pierre tweeted a thread for a Pride Month last year detailing her brutal path to coming out and being accepted by her family while growing up in Queens. I came out to my mom when I was 16 years old. The revolted look on her face sent me running back into the proverbial closet and slamming the door shut. She wrote, again, don't know what that has. Very sad. I don't know what that has to do with this. After that, my sexuality became a family secret, and it would stay that way for years, she said, adding that she dated but hid those relationships from my family until they evolved to embrace her. I'm proud to be an out black queer woman. I've been for quite some time, she wrote. I'm happy to say my mother is now proud of all of who I am. She loves my partner, and she loves being a doting grandmother to the daughter we are raising. The conflict of concerns over Jean-Pierre's hiring come amid a similar controversy plaguing Psaki, who has denied plans to join MSNBC. We'll soon see. I'd like to see her do a show with Peter Ducey on Fox News. I'm hoping that's where we go now. I'd like to see the two of them go at it just a little bit more.
Have they gone at it yet?
No. Ducey, Ducey would always go at her, at Jen Psaki, which is fine. That's his job.
Have Ducey and the new press secretary gone at it yet?
I don't know. As soon as Psaki's expected move was first reported by Axios on April 1st, the press secretary was pressed about how it could be ethical to remain Biden's mouthpiece while negotiating a salary with the media outlet. All right. We don't care about Jen Psaki. I understand the conflict. There is a potential conflict of interest here. You'd be crazy not to. I think CNN is doing the right thing by being proactive. I think they're doing what they can do. They're going to let Suzanne Melville keep her job, because you're not going to fire her for this, because you're not covering politics.
Right.
Now you worry about, are there going to be leaks there? That's the big concern, I guess. There's only so much you can do. I think CNN is doing the best they can. If Jean-Pierre is qualified, are you going to deny her the job of who she's dating because of who she's dating? I mean, it seems a little too much to do that.
It may be a consideration. I also think if the whole thing with the Cuomos hadn't happened, I don't think it would be an issue, because you have something like that where, you know, it got to be an issue, you know, and also on the Democratic side, and also somebody who's working on CNN. You know, could it happen again? And this is not like, well, this was long ago. No. This is like about, you know.
What happened to Cuomo?
You don't know what happened with the Cuomo brothers?
You mean the brother looking out for his brother?
Yeah, while he was on the air saying he had nothing to do with it. Chris Cuomo lied to everybody. Chris Cuomo had to go. But so what you're saying, are you going to punish these people? They haven't done anything yet. You disagree with what?
I don't think he should.
For what, lying to his bosses and lying to the public? Chris, you can only be a news anchor if your public trusts you. You know, he's saying, I have nothing to do with my brother's antics, and I'm not helping them or anything. And then it turns out he is. He lied to his public. His name is Mud. I mean, I know most people think of journalists as having a Mud name, but if you're the boss and you don't want to have a Mud name, you gots to go. I mean, that's what I would do.
And the wound is still open on this. You know, I mean, if this was like, let's say this was like 5 years ago, you know, and everything has been fine, you know, you give it a shot, but it will raise an eyebrow, and people are going to be very conscious of it as this moves on. I mean, you know, this woman is a very intelligent young lady. I read her background. It's, you know, she pulled herself up by her bootstraps and got to where she is. She's a very intelligent woman. I hope that she, you know, the job goes smooth, and there's a suspicion of this doesn't ruin her merits as a press secretary.
All right, so I'm gonna do the name of whataboutism. I think CNN handled it as well as they could right now, and this woman does appear to be qualified, so you can't begrudge her a job. But in the name of whataboutism, because that's what a lot of this article was. What about the fact that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's wife was communicating with members of the Trump White House, urging them to overturn the election results? I mean, should Clarence Thomas be forced out? You could certainly make that. You could certainly make that argument that, I mean, she was actively talking to Mark Meadows, who is the chief of staff, saying, you know, oh, we have to overturn this election. And you got Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court. I mean, he hasn't recused himself from any of these cases.
This should be like the biggest stories in American history.
And it's not. It's a problem. Listen, I think all of this is a problem. I think it all stinks. And also, you know, listen, we have tapes of Sean Hannity on January 6th talking to the White House. What's the message you want me to get out there? You know, and you know, Hannity is on, we said before, a news station. I mean, it's the same thing. I don't like any of this. If I had my druthers, Jean-Pierre couldn't have her job. Hannity couldn't have his job. Chris Cuomo couldn't have his job. If we really want to have integrity.
Justice Thomas would definitely be fired.
Justice Thomas could not have the job. If we really wanted to have integrity, none of these people would have their jobs.
We don't have any integrity. What are you talking about?
Exactly. So if we're not going to have any integrity, we can't pick and choose. We're essentially going, we hope for the best. That's where we are. That's what we have to own up to.
Well, you know, you need, looking at it this way, I mean, CNN, you know, kind of got put in a corner with this. And, you know, I'll tell you what. Basically, you know, Biden wanted to pick somebody who was black, who was a lesbian.
Well, wait, hold on. You just told.
You don't see that. You don't don't see that?
But hold on. But hold on. What I'm you just
I agree with you, Joe.
Well, you just told me how qualified this woman is. So let's say
both things can be true.
I think both things are true.
You didn't let me finish what I was saying. They wanted to pick somebody who was black and who was a lesbian. They also picked somebody who is Haitian, that came here with her parents, that put herself through school, that wound up being on the swim team, that worked her way up through the ranks, which, you know, got into this. So if you're checking the boxes, all right, she's qualified, she's black, and she's lesbian. She's in. She's hired. Meanwhile, she's dating a report, you know, an anchor at CNN. Now CNN's got to go, oh, brother, boy, what a, you know, we gotta figure this out, because now everybody's looking at us, and we've got to take, you know, proper steps. So, you know, like I said, CNN handling it the best way they can. Well, yeah, because they got put in this, you know, they got put in this situation. Am I saying that Biden put her in because he was looking for somebody that was black and lesbian? Yes. Am I saying that this woman is not qualified? She has no qualifications? No. And she's a self-starter that pulled her up, pulled herself up by the bootstraps. She's an admirable woman.
So what you're saying, Joe? What you're saying is it was either Jean-Pierre or Wanda Sykes. Those are the two choices to be press secretary.
No. But, you know, I'm also adding that if the whole thing with Chris Cuomo hadn't gone down and it's still an open wound, I don't think this would be much of an issue. I also say that, well, you know, this is going to be a conflict of interest. Then you go back to the Supreme Court justice's wife that said that. Well, if we got to do this, then we got to do this. And everybody's like, all right, you know. So it's a little bit of a dynamic here. So have her be the press secretary. Let's see her be judged on her merits and how well she does. And, you know, let the chips fall where they may. I hope she does well. You know, I do like this woman. I admire her. I think she's qualified. So let's see what happens.
All right, let's do some some turbulent air. I thought I had the right thing queued up, and I didn't, so now I have to queue it up. So bear with me. We're going to do some turbulent. This is a fun little story.
I can fucking find what I'm looking for.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
Okie dokie. So I will play you. I actually have the audio of this, but I'll read you the story first. A couple was caught on video being kicked off a JetBlue flight in Florida after yelling racist and homophobic slurs, as the wife claimed they were removed because they were Trump supporters. The footage, first posted on TikTok and later shared on Reddit, where I go for all my news, shows the woman going on a tirade aboard the plane in West Palm Beach. Do you guys see what's happening in America? She yelled. He didn't like what we said, and now we're getting kicked off a plane, and y'all are going to have to wait. Yeah, this is all a problem. This is fucking outrageous. You guys, we're going to turn into China. It's coming. Cool, I could use an egg roll. You don't like the words coming out of my mouth. No, because you're delaying the plane, stupid. I'd like you to sit down and shut the fuck up. No words. Free speech is dead. No, you're going to be dead. Sit down, stupid. At one point, the woman's husband utters a homophobic slur, but mostly sits silently during the woman's meltdown, showing his big white belly. The woman also claims she used to be a Broadway dancer and praises Elon Musk, saying he's the best. He's the fucking king, is he? She also yells that she's not getting the fucking vaccine and calls mask-wearing passengers sheep. The woman drew jeers from fellow flyers because they want to leave, and she threatened to sue the airline, like we were talking about before, and the passengers shooting the video. Excuse me, it's our anniversary, and I'm going to make it memorable. She's also heard saying as she gets the boot. At one point, she shouts, we've got to get off the plane because we're Trump supporters. Seriously, that's really what I think it is. And she seems like a deep thinker. Charlotte D'Alessio, who posted the video on TikTok, wrote, couple yelling racist and homophobic slurs wouldn't deboard plane today, leaving West Palm Beach. A free show on all aboard. Too wordy, not catchy at all. The Post has reached out to JetBlue for comment. Last week, the Federal Aviation Administration announced that zero tolerance policy for dealing with unruly passengers will become permanent. The agency implemented the policy on January 13, 2021, after seeing a disturbing spike in incidents. Under the policy, the FAA issues fines to misbehaving passengers instead of letters of counseling. Zero tolerance. policy combined with the agency's public awareness campaign has helped reduce incident rate by more than 60%. The FAA will continue to work with its airline, labor, airport, and security and law enforcement partners to continue driving down the number of incidents. All right. Here is the audio of it. By the way, the video of it is very good, too. I certainly hope you all seek it out. But here is the audio.
Free speech is dead. Okay, you didn't like the words coming out of my mouth.
Okay, so pretty much.
No words. Free speech is dead. Okay, excuse me. Didn't do anything.
You're definitely coming off.
No, we're not coming off. And you're going to have to take everyone off. This is ridiculous. Do you guys see what's happening in America? You didn't like what he said, and now we're getting kicked off a plane. And all of you all are going to have to wait. This is fucking outrageous. You guys, we're going to turn into China. It's coming. Cheap. Clearly, the president or the mass people didn't like what I said. Really? Oh, I love Elon Musk. He is the best. Elon! He is the fucking king! Because the math people in our row are kicking us off the
plane. We're off the plane because of the math.
Kicking us off. You know what? It's a beautiful day. I'm happy to stay one more night. I am suing you. What is your name, sir? I'm suing you. And I'm suing.
And buddy, I guarantee I have more money.
And I'm suing the airline. Oh my
god.
I have nothing to do.
Oh, I'm offended.
I used to dance on Broadway, and I'm not getting that fucking vaccine.
Gene, we're not getting off.
The customer of the aircraft was not cooperating. We're going to have to get everyone off the aircraft and then report. As soon as the sheriff gets here, we do apologize. We try to negotiate with the customer, but it doesn't seem to be working. So we're going to have to take
What did we do?
I am.
Can you tell me what we did? Listen, you got to get off the plane because we're Trump supporters. Seriously, I really think that's what it is.
Don't do that.
To my point earlier that I said in a prior story, Kevin, I would call these people knuckle draggers and mouth breathers. And these people are very white.
Can I ask a question which the story didn't allude to? I mean, look, the people are assholes. But what caused this argument?
I don't know, but I'm guessing they didn't want to wear a mask. And the FAA says you still have to wear a mask on flights. Because she said something that, you know, said all the various things about Trump and Biden. But, like, said something about, like, these mask people are the reasons we're getting kicked off the plane. So I think this was another one of these mask incidents.
Wow.
But I don't think they were kicked off the plane because they were Trump supporters. I think they were kicked off the plane because they're assholes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would figure it probably would have been a mask thing where you have, well, this is America. Look, you have to wear a mask in a plane. Does everybody want to wear a mask in a plane? Nobody wants to wear a mask in a plane. You just want to get on a plane, take off, not crash, get to where you want. Maybe you get a little soda and some fucking peanuts. That's flying today. Sorry.
I don't even want to wear a seatbelt on a plane, but I do.
Yeah, them's the rules.
That's the rules. I don't know why. When did we get to the point where we don't want to follow rules anymore as Americans?
Well, because of freedom.
Well, the same person had to wear a seatbelt to the airport, or she get ticketed by a cop.
People
right?
don't think that we're not doing the whole mask thing. Yeah, I'm but saying. Yeah. Listen, I will say this: these people are what people think of when they think of the stereotypical Trump supporter. It's not right, but that's what people think of. So I want to ask you, Joe, what, because you're a Trump supporter, what do you think when people behave like this and they go, we're getting kicked off because we're Trump supporters? How does that make you feel as
a
Trump
supporter? They give it a bad name, because if it's in a reason of a mask, they're not getting – I don't think – they weren't wearing anything that said Make America Great or a Trump supporter, you know, Trump 2024. It probably was a mask. You're on the plane. The plane is like its own country. There are rules. The captain is the president. Why is it so strict? Because the damn thing, if anything goes, you could crash, okay? So they have to be strict about things. If the FAA or the transportation, National Transportation Association, is saying that you have to wear a mask. I hate wearing the damn thing. I put it on. I sit. I shut my mouth. I do what they say. Their plane, their rules.
I think where this couple seriously miscalculated, they think people on a plane care more about a political agenda than getting to their destination. Nobody cares about anybody's political agenda when you're on that plane. As Joe said, you want to get to point A to point B, have a little soda, have your snack. Nobody likes flying in this country. It sucks. It's a terrible experience. The last thing I want – listen, I don't care if somebody's marching up and down with the Joe Biden thing. I love Biden. Do you? Sit the fuck down. I want to take off. I don't.
And also, to add to that, like I said, going back, if it was the mask, okay, you just had somebody go through all your shit. You were wanted. You had to take your shoes off. Every freedom you had, it's fucking out the door, because it's safety, safety, safety. You get on that plane, it's a small tube. They want you to wear a mask, even though you think it's bullshit. You got to wear it. Your freedoms were gone 35 minutes ago getting into the fucking place.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if it was all about freedom, I want to fly the plane. How come you won't let me fly the plane? Come on, where's my freedom?
Yeah.
Kevin, anything to add, or should we move on?
I think it's all bullshit. I don't have a choice in the matter.
I'm just so sick of the in-flight. I'm a nervous flyer as it is. If I'm ever on a plane with these type of people, I'm going to go nuts, because I'm already a nervous flyer. So just to be on a plane with people that are acting rude, we've seen more rude passengers in our lifetime since the pandemic that we've ever seen on planes before.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like as every other month, it's another passenger getting kicked off the plane or somebody. We used to worry about people bum rushing the cockpit to take the plane over and crash it in buildings. Now we're just worrying about people who don't want to wear masks.
New rule.
To protect themselves or the people next to them.
Let's roll rules expanded. If you delay the flight with your little antics for political stunts like this, we all get to bum rush you and tie you up and tie you to the chair. And that's how you're going to get there. New rule. You know what? And if one of us happens to be a professional boxer, you take a couple shots.
Flights are expensive. And I don't know why these people don't realize they're going to get kicked off the plane. They're in a no-win situation.
No.
And if you get violent, you're going to get arrested.
Nobody on that plane.
Who wants to get arrested and who wants to lose their flight?
Nobody on their plane gives a shit about your political agenda, whether they agree with you or not. They just want to get to where they're going, whether
exactly,
it be business or vacation.
Like Joe said, when you get on a plane, you only want one thing to happen, and that's the plane to go up and safely go down. That's it.
You know what I'm thinking when I get on
a
plane?
Maybe get a snack and a soda. That's all I
think. That's it, man.
You know what I'm thinking on the plane?
I don't have an agenda. You have to wear your mask. All right, we're going wearing my mask. You know, it's your plane, your rule. I don't understand why also they have to bring their agenda in it. You know, because you're not wearing a mask. You know, they're stupid people. I mean, they're fucking stupid, ignorant people. You know.
All right, let's do some comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
The
Dave Chappelle was attacked on stage last night in Los Angeles. Chappelle was not injured, but the incident could have turned tragic. Police said the man who rushed the stage was carrying a knife. CBS's Lilia Luciano has the details.
Dave Chappelle never saw it coming. A man police have identified as 23-year-old Isaiah Lee darted on stage and delivered a powerful body tackle that appeared to knock the wind out of Chappelle. Security quickly subdued the man off to the side while Chappelle gathered himself and carried on.
Y'all want to rock?
Police say Lee had a replica gun with a knife blade tucked inside. Good. Yeah. Appearing bruised and with a shoulder injury, he was taken to the hospital and later charged with felony assault with a deadly weapon.
We got
to
make sure we protect him at all times, man.
Comedians Jamie Foxx and Chris Rock were there. Rock delivered a punchline more than a month in the making.
Was that Will Smith?
Police have not offered a motive for last night's attack.
I do not know or understand at this point that this was a targeted event.
Last night was the latest high-profile attack on a comedian. Curtis Shaw Flagg recently tightened security at the Laugh Factory in Chicago after an audience member attempted to rush the stage.
Is it that people can't take jokes anymore?
More and more, people are taking it very personally and really responding in a way that I never imagined.
It was a trans man.
Chappelle has recently generated intense criticism over several jokes about transgender people, but has not formally apologized. Lilia Luciano, CBS News, Los Angeles.
All right, I'm gonna let I'll let Kevin have first crack on these thoughts. What do you think, Kevin?
On the Chappelle joke or the Chappelle attack? The attack.
The attack.
Okay. First of all, I don't think it had nothing to do with the Will Smith thing. And after Chappelle was attacked the next day on social media, that's all you saw was, oh, it's because of Will Smith. Because of Will Smith. I think Dave had this coming because he's pissed off a group of people. And I do believe the person that attacked him has been 100% confirmed. But I think this person is from the trans community.
You might be right, you know, and I'll tell you why. Because he did have a knife tucked inside his gun. So he is familiar with tucking. So.
and the black fingernail polish probably give it away. But anyway.
No, he could just be goth. I mean, yeah, actually, you know, I saw a young black commentator on Morning Joe with black nail polish. I don't remember the guy's name. Guy looked like a mushroom. His afro was huge, and he had the black nail polish. So don't use stereotype, my friend. Don't use stereotype. We're all into black nail polish now.
It could have been tragic. I mean, Dave could actually, if this guy really was mentally sane and knew what he was doing, he could actually kill Dave. He got close enough to him to actually make this a tragic event. It could have, the next morning the news could have been Dave Chappelle was murdered on stage. Thank God that wasn't the story. But he came close enough to actually harm this man. I've been saying for the last couple of weeks since it happened, I've actually been on that stage at the Hollywood Bowl. It's a huge stage. It's a huge venue. I don't know how that guy got on this.
That stage was humongous.
Yeah, I've been on that stage. It's humongous. I don't know how he got on that stage and they was able to get to Dave without security even getting meet him halfway.
Will Smith got on stage at the
Will Smith is a celebrity who walked up to another celebrity. But
I mean, rushing the stage.
He didn't rush. I think people thought Will Smith was going up there to give him a hug or give him a high five or something.
Really?
Nobody knew he was going up there to hit the guy.
No, nobody knew he was going up there to hit. But after the comment about Jada Pinkett Smith? Is that her name?
Yeah, Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, nobody thought he was getting a high five. he loves a good joke.
Nobody knew in their wildest imagination that he was going up there to slap him.
Everybody's there is like, is Will Smith going up there? Yeah, everybody's like, in that what the fuck moment. Nobody's
going to
jump him.
Yeah, nobody expected
but
even if Chris Rock didn't expect it, or he probably would have.
Listen, man, the reality is, as a comic, you are a sitting target. There is, even in these most secure places like the Hollywood Bowl, people get access to. You talked about the NBA players. Like I said, the NBA, they have security. Most of the places we work, we don't have security. We got the bartender who's half paying attention, but not really, who's probably trying to like deliver drinks and seeing who his girlfriend, the waitress, is talking to. He's certainly not paying attention to what schmuck we've pissed off in the audience and who might be rushing us. We are on our own up there. Nobody's hiring security. And if they do have to hire security, guess what? They're not going to do comedy because we're not worth it. We don't make them enough. Most clubs do not make enough money on comedy night. And forget about one-nighters, which a lot of us do, which are places that do comedy once a week, once a month, couple quarterly. They're going to say, you know what? I don't need comedy. It is not worth it. It is too dangerous. This will be the death of comedy if this is allowed to continue. We need to. The best thing that could have happened was this guy got on stage, and we know he got roughed up because we saw the after. The best thing that could have happened was he got his ass kicked on stage. Dave Chappelle stomped a mud hole on him. And then you see Chris Rock and Jamie Foxx and fucking Bill Cosby too. Cole come out there and beat the shit out. If Bill Cosby could have treated him like a female actress, we would not see anybody rushing the stage anymore. That's what we need. People need to understand that this is not acceptable. But it is acceptable.
Well, it's a sign of the times. It's not, I don't, like I said, I don't think it had anything to do with Will Smith. I think it's just a sign of the times.
We were talking
before the show. We both have been attacked. Sort of victims of this. Yeah, we've been
I've been assaulted. Yeah. Not on stage, right off stage.
I've been insulted on stage. I actually had a lady at a club that we're familiar with, Kazi's. I had a lady actually throw a pitcher of beer on me. And she threw it at me, the whole pitcher.
Threw like a girl, it didn't come anywhere close.
It went all over the $600 suit I was wearing that night.
Really?
Thank you very much. Yes. I got drenched, man. I was drenched with a pitcher of Miller Lite. But the show went on.
Wow, cheap beer on an expensive suit.
Oh, man. I was pissed.
Yeah, really?
I was wet, man.
Throw some Corona, something, lady. A Sam Adams. A Yingling.
But she couldn't take a joke.
Expensive suit.
She couldn't take a joke. She was with an interracial. It was an interracial couple. She was in the front row, her and her boyfriend, or husband, I don't know, he was black. And I was calling him O.J. Simpson. And she was offended by it.
I'll tell you, it's funny you bring that up. Same club. I was banned there for many years. I didn't play there. I used to have a joke in my act. Joe remembers it with the word niggas. It was a smart joke. I did it all over the black audiences. White
Lenny Bruce?
No, but it was a good joke.
Okay.
It was a good joke. It was about DMX. So it was a good joke, but it was a middle-aged 40-year-old woman with a black guy. They were a couple. Do it the show on Friday night, not a problem. Do a show on Saturday, same joke. She complains to Lorraine or somebody there. Guess who's not playing the club anymore? Because it's funny that it was an interracial couple.
Could have been the same couple.
It could have been the same couple. I got off easy.
But see, now here's another story at that same club. I'm going to tell this real quickly. The same club. Remember, it was the month that Richard Pryor passed away. And I'm performing at Kazi's. And I had a Richard Pryor t-shirt on. It had the year he was born, the year he died. And, you know, in the black community, they come with these shirts quickly when black people die. So I had a t-shirt on, recipes, Richard Pryor. It was his picture in the year he was born, the year he passed. And I'm on stage, and some drunk white guy go, "Who's that N guy on your shirt?"
Jeez.
Right in the middle of my set.
It says who it is right on the shirt.
It didn't say the name. It was just a picture. He goes, "Who's that nigger on your shirt?"
He was intellectually curious. Why do you assume the worst?
And he said it out loud.
Now, would you say this guy was a knuckle dragger and a mouth breather? Because I would. I would certainly say this guy was a knuckle dragger and a mouth breather. I mean, this is a moron. So what happened?
Yeah.
Well, he got thrown out the club and had to sit in the limo. He's part of a bachelor party, so he didn't get to see the headliner, and he spent the next hour sitting in the limousine waiting for his boys to come out.
What were you saying, Joe?
Oh, the guy sounds like a total moron.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was a moron. I think he knew that it was Richard Pryor also. Who doesn't know Richard Pryor's face? You know, I mean, we weren't talking about...
Was that the guy from The Toy or Superman 3?
Yeah.
Big fan. Really like Superman 3. That's the guy on the shirt. It's the Superman 3 guy. Could you imagine if Richard Pryor was remembered just for Superman 3?
I'm about to say, I hope his career is not known for Superman 3 or The Toy. The Jackie Gleason's not known for the toy, right? Was he in the toy, Jackie Gleason?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. Oh. I don't know.
I'll get my white actors messed up. My bad.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Listen, I think it's a real problem. People, club owner said that people can't take a joke anymore. They take it personally. We've been talking about this for the past several weeks now. And everybody's so self-entitled, and we really need to see somebody get their ass beaten. Like it, that's what needs to go viral. Heckler attacks comic, and heckler gets his ass beaten.
Good question. When did audiences become so sensitive? Because now, and I told this to Davin before the show, before we all got on the air, it was like, whenever I get booked now, usually the booker would email me and say, no Trump jokes. I got this when I did a gig for the Comedy Zone. I got a call, a text email from the booker, Lynn Kerr, who says, no Trump jokes. I was in Utica, New York performing a few weeks ago, and booker we all know, Roger Paul, emailed me, Kevin, no Trump jokes.
I didn't get that email.
So you didn't get that email?
I did not.
I got that email. So maybe he's just telling black people not to do that Trump jokes. That could be it.
Did Coleman get that email?
I'm not quite sure. I didn't ask him. Interesting. But I got that email, yes. So
question and ask. You have to call him at 1 o'clock in the morning to find out.
Yeah. So, yeah, how about that's funny? Yeah, so, I mean, so we're at that, you know, of course, I mean, nobody tells you no gay jokes now, I guess, but I guess that's the next thing. No gay jokes.
No, I've heard that before.
No gay jokes?
Uh-huh.
Now, I do the homosexual juggling thing in my show, and it's been in my show for years. I did that on HBO, for Christ's sake, back in 1992, right? The same joke, that, you know, homosexual juggling with the scarves, you know? Nobody ever complained or was offended by it. I've done it in front of gay people. But now it's offensive for some reason.
I was working at Governor's one night, and I did, you know, and I do it once. I do a quick joke on Trump on tweeting with Kim Jong-un, and some guy goes, enough, I've had enough, I want to hear some comedy. And I'm like, because he was wearing this shirt, and I go, well, first of all, why are you here in your pajamas? And the, you know, audience laughed, and it was kind of awkward. I moved on, I did okay, and I was waiting to see the guy after the show at the meet and greet to find out what triggered him. I didn't see him. I think he might have left. However, what I found was a full audience of people walking out and telling me the guy was an asshole. You know, so I don't know. It's
right, but again, we need to see these people escorted out. The message needs to be shown to audience. This is not permitted. You do this, we're going to have a goon on you. There's not going to be any arguing, not going to be debating. Get your shit and go. And we're going to ridicule you on the way. That's what, but we're not going to do that because we've never been protected.
Nobody cares about the comedians.
Nobody cares, talks,
man. Never. It's never. We're when we're on stage performing, we are somewhat celebrities too. The people that are watching us that pay to get in, they see your picture out there as a headliner, you know, and you come in, but as far as the club owners protecting us and the bookers and the people in the club, they can care less if we fell off the planet, as long as it's after our 45 minutes, you know.
But if you think about this, think about, we've now seen people go after Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle. You can't get more famous. You can't be a more famous comic than those two guys. You can't be a more respected comedian than those two guys.
Right.
What chance do the rest of us have? That's the scary thing.
That's a scary thing. Yeah, that's pretty scary.
I also think what guides some of the clubs out there, like if you say, well, two people complain, everybody else have a good time? Oh, yeah, but two people complain. All right, what's the most popular meal in a club? Chicken fingers. If two people don't like chicken fingers, do you pull it off the menu? You know, it doesn't make sense, the rationale.
Yeah. I've had some pretty bad chicken fingers, Joe. Yeah, I know. I think it's, as Davin jokingly said earlier, it's a sign of the end. I mean, the comedy industry is in a bad place right now. There's so much going on, but yeah, people are attacking comedians. It happens on a smaller scale. Yes, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle are superstars in our industry, and they get all the media attention, but it happens to the unknown ladies and gentlemen out there performing also. And it's just the audiences are just too sensitive. If you're that sensitive, don't go to a comedy club.
But they don't think
Here's a tricky thing, too. My buddy Joe is a musician. He's my buddy, and he's been my friend. He was doing an acoustic show one night at a bar, and I think there was a guy there and his chick that really got that got out of hand, and there was a fight. He attacked him. And Joe, I think, might have hit him with the mic stand or something like that. And what happened, the guy tried to sue him for assault. I mean, the charges got dropped because the guy attacked him. So my buddy was telling me out of Ferrara, his brother Anthony, look, if you're ever doing a playing a gig with the band or doing stand-up, a guy comes up, you got to use your fist. Don't use any objects or whatever. You got to use your fist. I'm doing it, and this is about 10 years ago, I'm doing a place called the Brick House Brewery out on the island, and there was this drunk guy that was charging at me. And I'm like, and I had to take a stance, and I'm looking around, and I go, I can't hit this guy with any of this shit. Luckily, somebody grabbed him and pulled him away. But it gets, you know, not only that, you're worried about your safety, you're worried about how to handle the guy, you're worried about how you're going to handle him because you could get sued from this asshole. You know, so the whole thing with these audience, you know, audience members feeling that they're entitled to assault you needs to stop. It's going to stop when somebody gets the, the guy that attacked Chappelle got the shit beaten out of him, you know, behind stage. But what you said, Kevin, it's going to take one of them to get their shit, or Davin might have said it, to get their shit beat out of him on stage by the comic and go, this is what happens.
See, our best chance of that happening is somebody going at Joe Rogan. Like, if somebody goes, like, Joe Rogan would destroy something. If some,
oh, God almighty, Rogan will twist him into a fucking pretzel.
That's what I'm hoping for. Somebody's offended by what Joe Rogan says, and Rogan just crushes them. But
I mean, if you get some guy that's hassling Mike Tyson, I mean, you know, you get these people out of their fucking minds.
It's going to be the end of comedy because it's not going to be worth it. I'm barely making money as it is. I don't want to have to bring in security. Now we're known as a place where we're bringing in, you know, you comics cause problems. It's not good. It's not good. And people go, oh, what happened to comedy? You happened to comedy. Like I was saying before, we can't have anything nice. We ruined everything. It used to be you get together, comics make it intimate. It's nothing but spoken word. We're having a couple laughs. You have a couple drinks. We all go. We part ways. No, now I'm offended. And not only am I offended, I'm not going to walk out. I'm going to beat your ass. What is wrong with us? It's over. If you're getting offended at a prop comic, I mean, seriously, he's biting an apple while he fucking juggles. If that's not silliness, I don't know what is. All right.
That's hilarious.
Normally, we would do segment three, and I play on segment three, Bitter on Twitter. But segment one went way too fucking long. So we're not going
to... Let's say goodnight. We've done 3 hours.
That's what I'm getting to, stupid. Stop fucking jumping the gun. Relax. That's what I was getting to.
Joe's like, come on, man, hurry up. Tucker Carlson's going off in a few minutes.
Tucker Carlson's been gone for done for half an hour. It is Hannity and then Laura Ingraham. Nighty night, Laura Ingraham. Ugh,
yeah. I got to get home before Don Lemon comes on, too.
Who?
10 o'clock, Don Lemon.
Oh, yeah, big Don Lemon guy. All right. Yeah, now that he doesn't have his boyfriend, Chris Cuomo. All
right. Yikes.
So we're not going to do part three tonight. We will do Bitter on Twitter some other week. But we will thank some people. I'd like to thank Sensei Russ Ferdico for his continued support.
Yes, thank you, Sensei.
His continued support and sponsorship. Joe, Portobello, what do you have to say about them?
Well, Portobello is Bergentown in New Jersey's most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. The Tuscan Villa setting will make you feel like you've been transported to the old country. And every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail. And the Portobello chefs are happy to cater to any dietary need, ensuring that every visit is not just a meal, but an experience. Portobello is open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch, which is available as long as with their dinner menu, which is available all day. Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features live entertainment starting at 9 p.m. Portobello Banquets, that is your destination for that special event. Sweet 16, wedding, office party, anything that has to impress. And their professional staff will ensure that your event will not be just an occasion, but a memory. Portobello Banquets also host the popular comedy nights throughout the year, which are produced by our pal Davin of Davin's Den. Davin, have anything coming up?
Yeah, we do. Kevin, can you hand me that flyer over there in the corner?
What?
Yes.
Oh, the flyer that I'm not on? Yeah, of course.
Yes, the flyer that you're not on, so you know it'll be a good show.
Yeah, yikes.
Friday, August 12th, we got a great show. We're calling it Funny Females because I booked two female comics. I'm like, all right, might as well add a third. Oh, It's not racist. Your headliner is Vanessa Hollingshead from Funny Women of a Certain Age, which has been on Showtime. It's a pretty big special. Sharon Simon from Saturday Night Live and Donna Lloyd from Gotham Comedy Club. You want to go on Friday, August 12th for tickets. Call 201-337-8990, extension 2.
That's going to be a great show and just one of the great things that happens at Portobello. So experience all they have to offer. They're at 175 Ramapo Valley Road in Oakland, New Jersey. Learn more. Call them, 201-337-8990. That is 201-337-8990. Visit their website, portobellonj.com. You deserve the best. You deserve a great time out. You deserve Portobello.
Side-splitting Productions. Who happens to be putting together the show for Portobello? They can do that for your restaurant, your fundraiser, or your party. Make sure you go to sidesplittingproductions.com or call 551-404-3094. Kevin, where will you be that people should come and see you at?
Oh, man. I'm working all the clubs that Davin doesn't work. Let's see. I'm at the Outer Banks Comedy Club coming up. American Cruise Lines, which is going out of Martha's Vineyard. And then I'm in Rhode Island, and where else am I? I'm all over the place. I'm everywhere. So there are a lot of different clubs.
That was very vague plugging, like no specific.
Well, go to KevinLeeComedy.com.
That's better.
And follow me on Instagram at Kevin Lee Magic. I put all my shows on there.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Joe, where will you be the next few weeks?
Cleaning up my garage. I got nothing. I'll be at the tip next in 2 weeks. I'll be at Tips Comedy Club on June 3rd, but I'll plug that next week.
Thursday, May 26th, I'll be in Hackettstown, New Jersey at the American League and Legion. For tickets, call 908-821-2735. And Friday and Saturday, May 27th, 28th, I'll be back at Princeton, Catch a Rising Star. Been a long time since I've been there. For tickets, go to catcharisingstar.com. Yeah, Joe, I think we're going to take next week off because my daughter is nominated for a Grammy in school. So,
oh, really?
Congratulations.
So she's going to be thank you. She's going to be walking the red carpet. I said, "Do you have a speech?"
That's great. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm like, "Are you going to be like making a speech if you win?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "Okay." So,
write a speech for your daughter, man. Put some humor in it.
Write
a speech for your daughter.
I'm not going to write a speech for my daughter. She doesn't want my speeches. She's very funny, but she doesn't need my help. Okay. So that's why I think we're going to take off next week, but we will return on May 31st. So Joe can still plug his gig in June on May 31st. So we'll take off next week. Hopefully Pip will be back with us. I think that should think she'll hopefully be ready to entertain you folks. Kevin, thank you for coming in. We certainly appreciate it.
Always good to be talking.
I mean, please tell Pat I said hi.
She did say hi to you, Joe. She said tell Joe. She did. I said I want to get Joe and Davin on our podcast. I said,
yeah.
And she says, "You guys aren't going to beat up on my friend Joe." No, never. Yeah. I said, she did say that. I said, "We would never do that. We just want to have a Trump supporter to come on and just give us his honest opinion on stuff or whatever. Adult conversation and respectful adult conversation." So we'll be reaching out to you, brother. It's always good to see you, man.
Said, hey.
Stay well. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. If you like us, tell a friend.